In terms of the potential project cost that we've identified as being necessary for this development to move forward, there's a substantial amount of infrastructure necessary to the site. This map, and it can be seen better in the project plan, identifies where there's water lines, sewer lines, storm water project costs, street improvements. There's also some privacy berms identified here. There's some extension to the Oakleaf Trail that I've identified as potential project cost, as well as development incentives. Again, those development incentives will not be granted until there's an agreement in place. And with those agreements, there will be obviously some guarantees about timing and development, and certainly some expectations. I think some of the comments made by one of the public members here should be considered and thought through as those development agreements get in place. Those were certainly some favorable suggestions. But I might also point out that a substantial piece of this is related to infrastructure. The city does have a plan that they will special assess benefiting properties for infrastructure cost to the point that the properties are benefiting. This area would be no different than any other area in the city. So we've identified of the projects associated with infrastructure that about $4.7 million of those, or about 75% of that, would be specially assessed, and that would relate to the storms, or excuse me, the sanitary sewer, the water system, and any streets that would benefit properties. So those have been identified to be special assessed. Again, about $4.7 million is the assumption at this point for that. Those numbers will be certainly fine-tuned as the engineering is completed on the property. And then there is a substantial development incentive identified here, which would be negotiated through a developer's agreement. Now, the financing for the project costs that have been identified, the piece that that the city would look to probably doing an upfront financing for would be the non-assessable street improvements, water, sewer, any stormwater improvements, and any other infrastructure costs. That we've identified to, We've identified that to be about $11 million. So for our feasibility analysis, we're looking at doing that over with a general obligation bond undertaken by the city. That would be the one exposure for risk in terms of the overall development. Therefore, it's very crucial and important that the developer agreement addresses the ability to support those costs and guarantees on value and improvement taking place. The other three components of the financing, and the specifically related to any contributions to the development, are proposed as a municipal revenue obligation. In terms of how that is structured and paid, a municipal revenue obligation is not a pure liability of the city in the sense that it's paid over a period of time. They would become payable following the annual debt service requirements on the GO debt. So if it's determined through a developer's agreement and due diligence that the developer incentive is necessary or development contribution is necessary, the MRO would be executed and the developer would receive that over a period of time, not upfront dollars, not committed to with any debt financing. If that's not recovered over the life of the district, there would be no obligation for the city to pay that out in full. So it acts as an incentive to perform. If the taxes aren't collected, they're not available to be paid back through the TIF to the developer. We've identified two municipal revenue obligations at two different junctions and point in time. Again, any commitment here would be done through an agreement. That due diligence and agreement is not complete at this point. And then there's one other note. There was discussion about the one of the final phases for the methane gas. That cost would be fronted by the county and then potentially reimbursed back to the county only once any other obligations have been met. So that's been identified as a later point in time, but would certainly be reflected as available. So In the project plan, there's a full cash flow analysis that shows the revenue coming in and the assumptions for tax collection, any cost associated for undertaking, and the allocation of and payment of municipal revenue obligations, and supporting that the project can be financed. Now, we're here again tonight to put in place, if it's chosen by this body to do so, a tax increment district. And the district is, again, that financing tool. That financing tool needs to be in place before any project cost can be undertaken or any development contributions can be made. And secondly, the determination of any direct development and contribution needs to be vetted, due diligence needs to be undertaken, and a developer's agreement needs to be in place. So the creation of the district includes the Plan Commission preparing the project plan, which has been done, the convening of the Joint Review Board, the overlapping taxing entities, that representation by each, that was done on August 18th, and one member was appointed from the public. I believe our public member is here this evening, or he was here. But the school was represented, the county, the technical college were also represented. A representative from the city, and then a public member. The public hearing was held on the 18th. The Plan Commission did approve a resolution accepting the project plan and the boundaries. And now we're here this evening before the governing body. If the governing body moves forward with the approval of the resolution, it would go back to the Joint Review Board. They're the final approval body. You need a majority vote of that group. And ultimately, the legal and administrative review is approved by the state of Wisconsin. Now, there's after the TIF is created, again, this is putting the tool in place to provide, if the city chooses to, any assistance to the project or undertake any infrastructure cost. So once the plan is put in place, again, that's the financing tool, there is still due diligence that needs to be done. The city has been doing and is in the process of reviewing all the financials of the development from the developer, and is making a determination of what level of assistance may be necessary to make this project economically feasible for the developer, as well as addressing that but-for question under state statute. And ultimately, before any assistance is provided, a developer's agreement would be in place. So this is not the final action by this body. It's just the action to put the financing tool in place. This body would certainly be the group that would be looking at the execution of the developer's agreement and also addressing any of the other 39 items on the checklist before the project can proceed and move forward. So that, Mayor, concludes my comments. But I'm happy to help answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Gunderson. Questions from the Common Council? Alderman Mayor.
Again, who are you? Who is Ellers, and what is your expertise?
Okay. I apologize. I thought everybody knew me. I apologize. My name is Dawn Gunderson. I'm a municipal advisor. We have worked with the City of Franklin for a number of years, assisting with tax increment, economic development, capital financing, and planning. Our firm has probably created, I shouldn't throw numbers out there, I don't know the exact number, but we've been involved in probably more than a third of all the districts that get created every year within the state of Wisconsin. We work for about 375 local governments throughout the state, and one of the services we provide is the system administration of tax increment districts. We have gone through the feasibility analysis for Franklin, presented that before the Common Council a month or so ago, and they've given direction to move forward with the creation of the project plan. There's members of our firm that are also assisting with the developer performer review and are reviewing the feasibility analysis and helping the city examine the need for assistance on the project.
And what would it take for you to say, no, this isn't a good project?
Well, the as far as the undertaking of the project, that's a decision you have to make at some point, and that's not tonight. Tonight is the feasibility and the creation of the district. It fits all the statutory criteria to create the tax increment district based upon the economics. It can support the project costs that have been identified and necessary. The final decision is to determine if you want to move forward with the project. There's obviously a lot of checkpoints that have been identified by the city. As far as the feasibility, we would certainly come back to you if we felt that the developer was asking for more money than they needed in order to make it a successful project for them within reasonableness of rate of return. So there would be a point we would come back and address that with you at that point you're making those decisions.
And for the record, what is Ehlers?
We're an independent municipal advisory firm registered with the SEC and the MSRB. Our fiduciary is to our client, and our client is only local governments. So we have a fiduciary to local governments to look out for your best interests for all your financing and economic needs.
Thank you.
Questions from the council? Alderwoman Mayor.
I have a question regarding the numbers that we see up here. Who's determining those project costs? What's included in those project costs? And as we continue, what kind of input do we as a council or as individual aldermen have in determining those costs? And I don't know if that's a question to you or to...
I can address where the numbers that have been incorporated in the financing have come from. The cost for construction and development were provided by the developer in terms of the values generated. Again, we've discounted that, recognizing that the cost to construct does not necessarily equate to taxable tax base, so that's been discounted. The infrastructure cost have been, we've got input from the county for certain things that were associated with the Oakleaf Trail. There has been engineers working with the developer that have come up with some of the costs for engineering. Those have been reviewed and to some level vetted by staff, but ultimately there will be design and expectations, because if they become public streets, they'll have to go through the standards of the city approval. So as far as any financing and your actions going forward, before you would actually borrow any money to pay for any of those costs, there would be certainly greater review of costs to do those. They would be city projects, and you would go through the same process you would for other city projects that you undertake. This body would be making the decision to move forward with any financing that you would, or any borrowing of money to be done. And as far as any development incentive, that number has been yet to be defined to be the exact amount that will be contributed. That will also be back to you to make a final determination of how much will be contributed. For now, the other thing to point out is this is a plan. It's not a budget. By creating the district, you're not committing to spending a dime in terms of support to the project. It's just getting the project in place. You'll have several other opportunities before anything is undertaken where you'll be considered or be asked to consider moving forward on each and every step.
Okay, I guess one of the reasons that I'm asking...
Alderman, let me finish with your question. You also asked about vetting the numbers as provided. That's the subject of G3 this evening, and an independent group to verify and see if we can do some value engineering to reduce the costs.
Okay. Back to what you were saying, though. For instance, the Oakleaf Trail. The county says, oh, this is, something that we want to do, and provides that to the city to pay for that. Who determines that that's something that the council would want to pay for?
Council. Because it's in this plan.
But it's in this plan originally, and what my concern is that there are certain things in here that set a precedent on what we're going to pay for. So I'm thinking councils down the road who are going to have to be dealing with this stuff, saying, oh, well, the Oak Leaf Trail is in here, so, you know, that's just something that we've determined that we needed to pay for. Personally, I wouldn't want to. So I guess that's where my question is why are these numbers in here without coming and saying, isn't this something that the council would even want to determine to be in here?
The goal is to provide the framework, allow for certain types of cost. Decisions to undertake those are not made at the time the plan is created. They allow for them, then there'll be decisions that you or future councils would have to make if they wanted to include that. Now, we've incorporated so that you don't have to amend it to add it, but again, that's...
In other words, Alderwoman, it's easy to take out. It's not easy to add.
It's really not easy to take out. What I'm saying is that the precedent gets set. Everybody knows that all this project's been in here for, you know, since the beginning of time. And when it comes up to council, then it gets approved and whatever. I just would appreciate a little bit more allowance into that. One of my concerns also, and I don't know if I'm addressing the right person with these questions, so just let me know. The estimates that we get in this over 2 years in this position now, I'm not comfortable with estimates anymore. Everything seems to come out a lot more expensive than ever determined beforehand. And what happens in that situation, too? We just have to approve it because it's always been in the plan, and whatever the cost comes up with, we have to do that.
You don't have to approve anything because it's in here. It's a plan to allow for that. There is language in the plan that if costs exceed what's been identified, you have the flexibility to exceed the itemized cost there. Again, you're not committing to spending those dollars. If the costs are higher, I mean, you could choose not to do that. But you have the ability to within a certain level, exceed the project cost without going back and amending for the overlapping taxing entities. And I don't know if I'm answering your question or if I'm misunderstanding your question.
No, I do understand that it's not that this isn't in stone. My concern is the precedent that gets set with some of the projects that get put in here. I'd be
attention,
all
patrons.
In favor.
The library will be closing in 15 minutes.
Basic infrastructure. But there are certain things that are kind of in here that I don't necessarily agree with. And I just don't know how they get put in there, except that, you know, it's city money, so get it in there while you can. So...
Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. I understand the Alderman's question that, and maybe we can relate to something we did in the last budget for the city. If it's in the plan, we can just take it out with just a simple majority the process would be the Joint Review Board. I think you'd have to go back to maybe amend. No, not the Joint Review Board.
Not if you're taking it out.
If you're taking it out, you just take it out.
You just don't do it.
It's like during the budget process, we had some trails, paths in there in the capital program. One of them was Caleb's crew doing a paved path through the woods, Franklin Woods, which I opposed, which the neighbors opposed, and the council took it out. To put it back in, you would need four aldermen. You need a supermajority to actually get it back. It's a little more difficult. So that's essentially what we're talking about here. I think if it's in there, then... we can do it if the council decides we're going to do it, or if the developer working with us. I don't think anybody's going to try to slam anything through. But to actually get added later is just going to be more work. And I think that's why it's in there. And I think the Oak Leaf Trail, I'm looking at it, and that's on page 20 of the plan, it says $50,000 in phase two. Well, the county's paying $1.1 million to actually do it. That's not City of Franklin money that's not part of this project. So, I mean, I'm not sure if that's what you're hung up on, the actual trail itself, or the fact that there's things in there that you don't like necessarily. But I think there's something wrong with having it there from the beginning, and we don't even have to do it if we don't choose to. But I don't know if that makes any sense regarding what we did during the budget. It's a lot easier to keep it in there, and then, boy, we just need three votes instead of having to come back. Just like when you make any type of budget modification to the city budget, it takes four votes. And, you know, getting four votes is not always the easiest thing. So that's all I want to add to that.
Alderman Mayor.
Okay, I would be a little bit concerned about the incentive money being given to subsidize the developer at the end. I think it's high, but I don't understand it all, so I just want to put that question out there, is why isn't the incentive to the developer of us paying for the infrastructure costs enough?
That's the due diligence that you're going through now. Is there, the developer has provided all of their financial information, their sources of uses and costs, and that's being vetted and reviewed to determine if it's needed and to what level it's needed to make the project. I mean, the developers don't do projects unless there is some financial gain to them. I mean, you know, nobody goes into business expecting to lose money. So the analysis will determine that they're not being overly benefited by providing assistance. So that due diligence is being done. The decision on how much you give is not being made tonight. That will be determined at a later point. The other thing is the developer's agreement. We always recommend that you're looking at estimates now. I mean, the developer is providing you estimates in terms of their cost, that you would require them to, once it's completed, they provide you actual cost. So if you do agree to provide an incentive at a certain level based upon the estimates, that you relook at the actual and reduce that incentive if the actual cost would come in less. So there's a lot of steps and a lot of opportunity yet to be done. And the city is doing that due diligence now, which is the proper thing to do.
Okay. And just so you know, a lot of these questions are for the benefit of...
Yeah, that's fine.
People here. There were a couple of people who stood up, and I guess I want some of their questions asked. If Mr. Taylor could comment on Basil Ryan's comments regarding the personal property and how that works.
No, I think the appropriate person is Ms. Gunderson.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's fine.
I'm not certain I completely understand, but if there's personal property that's taxable under state law, that personal property would be taxable within this district. And the taxes collected on any personal property would go to the district. Anything above what that frozen base value is of existing value of real estate and personal property now. So if there is personal property that's taxed, it would be taxable. I think one of the questions was, some of this is on county-owned land, so if it's taxed as personal property, you're going to collect tax revenue on it. If it's not, then the question of a pilot payment comes into play, and I think those questions will be addressed with the developers.
The question is, what would the impact be on the TID should the developer cease to operate? A nice way of saying go bankrupt.
I think those are why you're putting certain things within your developer's agreement to protect you from that. So those are dotting I's and crossing T's that need to go into place. And it the development is fairly broad. So, you know, you've got the apartment development is somewhat different than perhaps the sports venue. I mean, you know, as far as the entire project, I think there's certain provisions and guarantees that you'll need to address in your developer's agreement.
During your presentation, I may have stepped out for it, but the reality is that the plan anticipates the development paying for all of the infrastructure advance payments prior to any incentive payments to the developer for any additional development. Is that correct?
if the city provides, if the city finances anything up front, issuing debt to be paid off over a period of time, any taxes collected would pay that first before any development goes on. So, you know, you're talking $22 million of project cost. There's about $11 million that could potentially be borrowed for in advance. Any debt service would be paid first before anything would go back to the developer.
Alderman Mayor, you still have the floor.
I think that's it as far as the finance.
Alderman Wilhelm.
I wanted to have Don define personal property taxes because a lot of people think their tax bill and not equipment.
Well, it is personal.
Yeah. Personal property tax would be
computers, furniture, fixtures,
in a grocery store. There's different things that the state defines as personal property, so it's not. It's very specific as to what gets taxed.
I just don't think the audience really has heard that term, so I want to clarify that.
Okay. I'll help. It's in the hotel. It would be the beds, the furnishings in the any restaurant in there, that type of thing. In a business environment, it'd be the desks, the tables, the chairs. You got to be careful with the computers because you get separate computer aids for that. That type of thing. Video projectors, whatever. Stuff that is personal property, not taxable real estate. Is that okay, Don?
Yep, that's good. There's State of Holiday Inn.
No, I don't think it was Holiday Inn. Right. Alderman, you still?
No, that was the only thing.
Any other questions? Alderman Mayor.
Thank you. Just for clarification, and some of this we already hit on, why are we doing this before we have approval from Milwaukee County? And why are we doing it before we have
attention
approval?
Attention patrons, the library is closing in 5 minutes. At this time, please bring your material to the front desk for checkout. Thank you.
And why are we doing it before we have approval from the DNR? And what is the plan B if Milwaukee County says no or DNR says no? What happens to the TIF district? I'm not sure if you want to answer that or if...
I can start and okay. Anyone else can jump in. Under Wisconsin law, if you create a tax increment prior to September 30th in any given year, the base value... the value of all the property determination, it goes back to January 1 of that year. If you create it after September 30th, October 1st, into next year, September, the base value is January 1 of 2017. So the timing as of considering this before the end of September is there's a certain segment, so any improvement from that point benefits the district. There was a certain point in this calendar year where the developer is acquiring tax-exempt property that becomes taxable when it changes from DOT land to developable land. So there's the ability to pick up that added value once that comes on the tax roll to benefit the district. So that's hence the timing. If the DNR and the county say no, you don't have to spend a dime in your district. You can dissolve it. By resolution, you could dissolve the district and not spend it. Or you could leave it open and, you know, for a period of time if you choose, but you don't have to undertake any of the project costs. So that's why we when we develop the timeline to move forward with the creation of the district to capture that period of improvement value that we anticipate coming on with the acquisition of property.
Thank you.
Alderman Mayor.
To piggyback on that, that's reminded me I have that question. What is the value to the district to do it before September 30th or after?
It ultimately would be based on what the assessor assigns on tax value. I mean,
well, what did you put in?
What we did is we just froze the property value as it was in January of 2016. We didn't actually do a computation on that. We just assumed that there would be beginning of some development assumptions. So at this point, we didn't fine-tune that number. We just started with the 1/116 values and not the 1/117 values.
So we don't know what the difference is between 16 and 17. There is no value at this point, but nobody even estimated that to show us what the difference would be in the long term. Tip. Paul, you had to have done that. Did you do that?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Well, the answer to the question is it depends on what gets developed on that site and what the timing of that is.
No, it depends on what the value of the land is January 1 of 17 and what it is January 1 of 16.
Correct.
So it's
zero today, and if something gets developed on it in 2017...
By January 1.
No.
It would just, even the transfer of property. When property becomes tax... As soon as a tax-exempt property is acquired... it becomes taxable. So if the developer buys that between now and the end of December, they pay taxes on that value because now it's taxable property. So, you know, we didn't define the amount, but we recognize that it's the opportunity to capture that. So that, hence the timing to create this now. Plus, I think there is desire on the development side, if everything else gets approved, to start moving forward with development. And, you know, with that input from staff and the city, you know, we prepared a timeline to accomplish creating it before the end of September.
Said differently, what's at risk here is the potential value that will occur on these, what we call estate-owned lands, that occurs anytime through the year 2017. That's the taxable value. The taxes incurred on that is what's at risk.
Through the end of this year. It's between now and December, because whatever the value is on December of this year...
So it depends on what the assessor says it's worth today. Right, and that's the key.
That's the case every year.
Yeah.
What Alderman Taylor says is correct. It's based on today through infinity. So...
Until the TIF's paid off.
Right.
Still valuable to us.
Well, no, that's right, but that's to help pay it down.
Okay, Alderman Mayor, you still have the floor. Anyone else? Comes to that point in the evening. Is there a motion to adopt the resolution approving the project plan and establishing the boundaries and the creation of tax incremental district number 5, the city of Franklin, Wisconsin?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion of the motion to approve. Alderman Mayor.
I'll hold my comments. I'll let others discuss first for a bit. If anybody else wants to?
Alderman Mayor.
Okay, I would like to add an amendment, actually two amendments. First of all, it's somewhere in the wording we have with the understanding that there will be a pilot on non-city-owned property, just so that it's there to be negotiated at some point.
Make a motion.
He made county, not city.
Not city-owned property.
Yes.
Right.
Correct. Non-city-owned.
A non-city-owned property, there would be consideration and negotiation of pilot.
Maybe the better correct is any non-taxable parcel.
Right. That's fine. If that's okay with the motion.
Okay, so the amendment proposed is that a requirement be added to the motion that signifies that a negotiated pilot for all non-taxable lands be included.
I seconded that. Amendment. Okay. Friendly amendment, right?
True. On the amendment, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Alderman Mayor.
One more amendment I would like to entertain, that we add a figure in here of $100,000 for air and water quality monitoring to be conducted by the Franklin Health Department or overseen by the Franklin Health Department, with reports to the Common Council as needed or as requested, or as at the discretion of the Franklin health officer.
Okay.
Yes.
$100,000.
For what period? 5 years?
5 years with potential to renew with Common Council approval.
Okay.
Mayor, I don't know that that needs to be part of the resolution. We can make that change to the final plan.
I get that, but yeah. Alderman would like to make sure it's documented.
Okay, that's fine.
Is there a second to that?
Steve's got
for discussion, I guess.
Alderman Taylor.
For discussion, okay. I'll second it, but then, you know, I can like...
Well, it's a second, you just withdraw it.
I'll withdraw it, right, exactly. The dollar amount seems arbitrary. Isn't there a way to put in a motion that we're going to have this type of plan and figure out how we're going to do it? I don't know if necessarily tonight we decide the dollar amount or the time length. I think we all can agree that that's important to our residents, so let's put something into place. But I think that number's arbitrary, and I think the timeline's arbitrary. So if you want to word a motion, maybe the city attorney could. I think I know what you're trying to accomplish, and I would support that. Just, I don't want to just throw up something against the law. We're going to have us, let's talk about this as being a part of, we have a developer's agreement, which is going to be the key to everything. If we can't get a developer's agreement, we have nothing. And we've talked about the county. We've talked about the DNR. So there's a lot of steps here, but I like where you're going, and let's just word it differently.
Let me offer.
Okay.
If I may.
Here's my keys, and then I'll...
withdraw my seconds. We can clear up something. How's that?
Seconds withdrawn.
The key is I want it done by our Franklin Public Health Department as a more or less neutral party. I don't know what kind of costs they're going to incur. I don't know if he can do the testing, if he's going to have to hire a public firm. So that's where I tried to put it somewhat higher, and I want them to be able to provide us with a report. So I would toss it to the mayor then for awarding.
Okay, Alderman Taylor has put pressure on me saying I have a good idea.
I'm not all the time. This is, I mean, let's not,
all right. First of all, the health department has no expertise in air quality monitoring. So we can make them the administrative party, but
exactly.
They're not going to do the work. So my suggestion is merely an amendment to require the inclusion of air quality monitoring in the project plan. And then it'll get flushed out with quotes and appropriate contractors and that kind of thing before the expenditure comes to the council.
And water quality.
Air and water quality. Yeah, air exactly.
Water quality. We need to define what you mean by water quality.
Hazardous materials in water.
Well, in what? In the groundwater? Mm-hmm. Or in the wells or what?
Groundwater.
Okay. So the amendment is to include groundwater and air quality monitoring in the project plan. And to be administered by the health department.
Now, does that cover us if it's going to become expensive? I mean, I still want it done, even if it's expensive.
Well, we don't know if it's going to be expensive. But we'll, right. The number will come back to you guys to determine whether or not you want to do it.
Okay, as long as it's done.
So on the motion, all those...
I second it.
Yeah. We'll just have to bump that number.
Okay.
So Alderman Taylor seconded. All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We're under discussion on the motion. Alderman Mayor.
Okay, this project was basically approved in April. Mr. Zimmerman has the Franklin approvals he needs to go forward with this. To not do this part of this, and please correct me if I'm wrong in any of this, to not go forward with this particular proposal or with the TIF development, the project's still going to go forward. The question becomes then, is it going to go forward with the quality in the way Franklin wants it, with the safety standards that we want in place, like what we just talked about here? And so it was approved. It has the Franklin approval it needs. It's still going to be up to the DNR and up to the county. But if we say no to this tonight, we're still going to have apartments there. If we say no, we're still going to have development across the street. But the thing is, it may not be. I'm sure it'll be up to standards, but we can make it a better, more quality project if we do this, and we can ensure the safety standards if the city is more or less a partner in this. Thank you.
Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, a couple of things. First off, no surprise I support this. We've been talking about this for a couple of years when the mayor and I were running against each other. This was a topic of conversation in this area. And I take a look at this audience, and it's quite different than it was in April, the day before the spring election. And the reason that is because the developer has done its job. It's they've talked to the neighbors. Now, is everyone happy? No. That's never going to be the case. Anytime we've ever done a project in any community, you can't make everyone happy. You do the best you can, but there's going to be upset individuals. We've heard a few tonight. I've heard, I think I was called slime maybe, and a crook. That's part of the job. But the fact this room isn't packed means many issues have been addressed. That's number one. We need to realize where we were back in April. Secondly, tonight is extremely important because if we don't do this, I beg to differ. I appreciate the two amendments from Alderman Mayer, but if this isn't approved and we don't do a TIF district, I don't see this project happening at all. At all. I mean, just take a look at what we talked about last month regarding apartments on 27th Street. Without city assistance, without a TIF district that's already created, about $5 million, we don't get the $25 million in increment. It just doesn't happen. I've talked to the developer. I think they've reached out to all of us. So this is no different. It's extremely important that we move forward tonight. And another reason why we need to move forward tonight. There's plenty of approvals. We know about the county. I have those meetings coming up on Friday. We know about the DNR. I mean, we have a developer's agreement. There's going to be a lot of negotiating, a lot of things that have to come for this body also. But I think something that's very important is take a look around us. Look at all the communities around us, what they're doing. Greenfield, look at their development. Oak Creek, Muskego, Greendale. We're the ones in the last 2 years, besides a senior living complex, a bank, what have we done? If you don't develop your community, you turn into West Milwaukee, you turn into West Dallas, your taxes go up and up and up, and the people that you care about that live in their homes, they can't afford to live here. And, you know, wearing a county hat, I'll tell you, as chairman of economic development for Milwaukee County, I talk to developers all the time. And they're watching what we're doing. If we do nothing, expect this city to be exactly how it is. But if we do something, it really opens up the floodgates because they're seeing that we're willing to, you know, what's Wisconsin open for business? That was the governor's motto back in 2010. You know, that we're ready to do our part and make these tough decisions. These are tough decisions. I just can imagine. Well, I saw the email from Alderman Mayer. Some of the phone calls and emails that you received. You know, shame on people for calling and talking to your wife the way they did. Shame on them. But that comes with the territory, unfortunately. And spouses and significant others become, you know, just, they're in the line of fire. So tonight is important for this city. You know, $100 million for the development, changing the way this community looks. Are there going to be some bumps in the road? Sure, but you learn from them. So I hope we can do this, and I really hope we have a unanimous vote to show that we're all on board.
Alderman Barber, then Alderwoman Mayer, and then maybe we can vote.
And the vast majority of constituents that I've talked to, and I've asked them about this, and over the entire last 4 months, have expressed that they want this to go forward for the sake of Franklin's future. They want the city to move forward, and this is a direction that they feel would benefit us. They want due diligence, though. They want us to monitor the TIF. They want us to be proactive in that sense. But everybody that I've talked to, and I would say that the number of people that have been negative about this, maybe I could count on two hands, and the rest are by the hundreds in favor of this. So that's what is swaying my vote.
Alderwoman Mayer. Then Alderman Mayer. The Mayer Show.
I do have some questions regarding DNR approval because that seems to be the number one concern, and it actually is my number one concern also. My understanding that tonight's vote moves the project forward so that we can find out if the DNR would even approve building something on that property. Without this step, we will never know if that is the case. Is that
understanding? That's not correct.
Okay.
This is the financing package, separate and apart from the DNR approvals. If the DNR says can't be done, then it doesn't get done.
But without this step, is my understanding that without this step, we wouldn't be moving forward to the DNR?
No, not correct. The DNR is working on it right now.
Okay. So
there's been soil borings. There's been tests of the limits of the fill. All of that's work is all in process.
Okay. Has the city been involved with the DNR, or is that just tests by the developer?
No, the city's involved, but that's county business.
Has a development request been sent to the DNR for approval by the city?
The city's not involved in that.
So the city is not going to get DNR approval?
No, the applicant gets DNR approval. The county actually does this. Alderman, excuse me, in that case.
Okay, so has the county sent a development request to the DNR? Do you know when that was?
A long time ago.
Months and months ago.
Okay, so what exactly has the DNR done so far? I heard something about soil borings.
The development team has done soil borings, both for load-bearing and methane. And they've done tests to find the limits of the landfill, or I should say landfill fill. And those are all in the hands of the DNR now. Is that correct, Mr. Marzo? Mm-hmm. Yep,
so. Is that information available yet?
Raw data.
I believe the city has that information already.
It was sent.
You got information from the DNR late on Friday?
We got information from the development team. The report of their soil blank forecast late Friday afternoon. So it's been